Imagine for a moment a beautiful flower. That flower might be an orchid or a rose or even a simple little daisy growing beside a path. Looking into a flower, we can see that it is full of life. It contains soil, rain, and sunshine. It is also full of clouds, oceans, and minerals. It is even full of space and time. In fact, the whole cosmos is present in this one little flower. If we took out just one of these non-flower elements, the flower would not be there. Without the soil's nutrients, the flower could not grow. Without rain and sunshine, the flower would die. And if we removed all the non-flower elements, there would be nothing substantive left that we could call a flower. So our observation tells us that the flower is full of the whole cosmos, while at the same time it is empty of a separate self-existence. The flower cannot exist by itself alone. We too are full of so many things and yet empty of a separate self. Like the flower, we contain earth, water, air, sunlight, and warmth. We contain space and consciousness. We contain our ancestors, our parents and grandparents, education, food, and culture. The whole cosmos has come together to create the wonderful manifestation that we are. If we remove any of these non-us elements, we will find there is no us left. Emptiness, the first door of liberation. Emptiness does not mean nothingness. Saying that we are empty does not mean that we do not exist. No matter if something is full or empty, that thing clearly needs to be there in the first place. When we say a cup is empty, the cup must be there in order to be empty. When we say that we are empty, it means that we must be there in order to be empty of a permanent separate self. About 30 years ago, I was looking for an English word to describe our deep interconnection with everything else. I liked the word togetherness, but I finally came up with the word interbeing. The verb to be can be misleading, because we cannot be by ourselves alone. To be is always to inter-be. If we combine the prefix inter with the verb to be, we have a new verb, inter-be. To inter-be reflects reality more accurately. We inter-are with one another and with all life. There's a biologist named Lewis Thomas whose work I appreciate very much. He describes how our human bodies are shared, rented, and occupied by countless other tiny organisms without whom we couldn't move a muscle, drum a finger, or think a thought. Our body is a community, and the trillions of non-human cells in our body are even more numerous than the human cells. Without them, we could not be here in this moment. Without them, we wouldn't be able to think, to feel, or to speak. There are, he says, no solitary beings. The whole planet is one giant, living, breathing cell, with all its working parts linked in symbiosis. The insight of interbeing. We can observe emptiness and interbeing everywhere in our daily life. If we look at a child, it's easy to see the child's mother and father, grandmother and grandfather in her, the way she looks, the way she acts, the things she says. Even her skills and talents are the same as her parents. If at times we cannot understand why the child is acting a certain way, it is helpful to remember that she is not a separate self-entity. She is a continuation. Her parents and ancestors are inside her. When she walks and talks, they walk and talk as well. Looking into the child, we can be in touch with her parents and ancestors. But equally, looking into the parent, we can see the child. We do not exist independently. We inter-are. Everything relies on everything else in the cosmos in order to manifest, whether a star, a cloud, a flower, a tree, or you and me. I remember one time when I was in London, doing walking meditation along the street, and I saw a book displayed in a bookshop window with the title, My Mother, Myself. I didn't buy the book because I felt I already knew what was inside.